Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure, as always. And I know it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? And those of you who've already been listening, we really appreciate you guys. And those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. Look what you got to look forward to. You got the opportunity to become really smart, which you always do when you get to hear my good friend Tim Berry join us. Tim's an original member of our Brain Trust, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software. They're the folks who make Business Plan Pro, which, as you know, Palo Alto is one of our good national sponsors. Tim is also the author of Business Plan Toolkit and Hurdle, the book on business planning. And as I said, he's our good friend, Tim. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, I'm always happy to visit with you, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And of course, folks, Tim's now in his ninth year as a member of our Brain Trust. And Tim, the time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Ninth year, yeah, it's always surprising.
Doesn't that have a nice ring to it? who would have thunk it? You know, I know what you said, Tim. I know what you said. This'll never last. No way this guy's going to make it.
Oh, yeah, right. Quote me that way.
No, you didn't.
That wasn't me, Jim.
You never said that. You always believed in me, and I always appreciated that about you. Tim, let's talk about financing. Let's talk about the different ways of capitalizing a business. We can start with the startups if you want, but I'd also like to kind of spread that around to maybe not just startups. But this issue of capital for a company is always a front burner issue for every small business, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And starting with how much money do I need to start the business, I think, is the first question there that people seem to ask as if there were some magic formula. Well, how much will it cost me to start this restaurant or this dry cleaning or this landscaping business?
Mm-hmm.
And that question begins with a brief plan to add up first. What money do I have to spend before I start? Like I need signs, like I need to fix up the place. And it's just a simple list.
Kind of a budget, right?
Well, yes, a list of things, and there's two kinds of costs of startup. There's how much you spend as expensable things like cleaning the place and the rent before you start and whatever. Those are startup expenses. And then there's assets, the things that you need to buy that you're going to own, like
mm-hmm.
equipment, tables and chairs in some
right.
cases. You add up the expenses and the assets that you're going to have before you start. And then in most cases, you have some additional money for the losses you'll have as you get ramping up. Few startups actually break even month by month in their cash flow right from month one. So that's how you decide how much money you need. And in most businesses, it's some amount of money.
Well, and
between you and actually getting your business started.
You know, Tim, when I was a consultant to small businesses when that's how I made my living back in the late 80s and 90s, I don't know how many people would come to me and they were so proud of themselves because they had created this budget. And I was kind of proud of them, too, because I have had people that come to me wanting to start a business with no budget. they didn't have a clue. They didn't even suspect anything. And so, but the people would come to me with a budget, and it was always a vertical column of numbers. And I would sort of, the first rein that I would deposit on the parade was when I would say, you know what, this is a good start. You've got some good numbers here, but what you haven't done is you haven't allowed for the expense of time. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, well, your business is not going to exist in this vertical column. It's going to exist in the continuum of time. And if you can't spread these expenses out over time, and show the relationship between these expenses and the income you hope to have and how that's going to result in your cash flow. If you can't spread that out and see where that's going, which is all part, as you certainly know very well, of the business planning process, if you can't do that, then this budget is basically just a wish list.
And not very useful. So what you end up doing then is you have them do the initial spend plus a cash flow projection.
Right.
That's core to the business plan. What I've found is that first step is important because people need to know, and they establish their strategy in the knowing how much they're going to spend. And you begin to discover that it doesn't cost X to start a restaurant. It costs X, Y, or Z. It might be $50,000, $500,000, or $2 million.
Tim, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how to find the capital that you need once you decide how much it is you need. 2010, we'll be right back with Tim Berry. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Tim Berry's here, too. Tim is the president and founder of Palo Alto Software. They make Business Plan Pro, and he's the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning, among other publications. Tim, we're on our way to talk about capitalizing our businesses, and first we had to talk about a little bit about how you actually find out how much money you need. And I just want to make one quick comment before we get into the capitalization sources. I remember the first time I discovered the cash flow statement, the electronic creation of a cash flow statement, and how liberating that was. What a light came on. The light that came on was incredible for me. When I saw that cash flow spread out over a 12-month period or maybe a 24-month period, and the illumination of that understanding of time and capital was an aha moment for me, Tim. And I do very few things in business that aren't connected directly to a cash flow statement.
Well, and Jim, if I can add to that, some of us discovered that same thing in less of an aha moment when suddenly it's, oh my God, so how do I make payroll? I've been increasing my sales like wildfire and mm-hmm. things are going great, but wait a minute, where'd all the cash go?
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is another long topic.
That's exactly right. And we have talked about before. But so let's now that we sort of realize whether we and folks, whether our number is right or wrong. You know, you can go back and listen to some of the interviews that Tim and I've done in the past where we talked about the cash flow thing, or you can continue to read about it. You can look at Tim's books or his products, and you can learn more about that. So now that we have a number, whether it's right or wrong, we have a number, Tim, and whatever that number is, we've determined. We don't have it. We personally don't have that number.
There's an amount we need.
Yep.
That is that knowledge puts us way ahead of a lot of people who just start buying things, and
right.
sometimes they can run out way before they've got to where they need to go, and sometimes people won't realize. And that, we're way ahead though, because we recognize to do this well, we need this much money.
And it's 5,000 or 500,000 or 5 million. Doesn't matter what the number is. If you don't have it, you got to go somewhere else to get it. And there are three ways to capitalize your business. One is your own investment. Two is from profits. And three is from debt from somebody like a bank. But now the first one, the investment is either your money or it could be someone else's money.
Right. And that's where it gets important to understand the terms and the possibilities for your business. If what you need is below a certain amount, then you're stuck with either investing your own money or bootstrapping or borrowing. There's to be interesting to investors, ironically, there's an amount below which it's really not going to be worth the investor's time. Now, I don't know if that includes, maybe Aunt Mabel can do the $5,000 investments, but generally when we talk about investment for startup businesses, we're talking about a wide range of possibilities that at the high end is called venture capital, and in the middle to low end is called angels, and at the extreme low end is called friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
At the high end, you need to offer a payback to the investors, and in the middle with the angels, too.
Which includes an exit strategy.
Yes. See, that I think I'm making it sound more complicated than what I want. What I want to say here is, as you look at your business, you must look from the point of view of the potential investor to decide whether or not you're even a business that is interesting to investors. And what makes a business interesting to investor is if I put money into this business now, I will get a lot more money later. And we sometimes forget that. Investors don't care that you'll never go under.
They're not in love with your business the way you are.
It's not about that I can stay forever, I'm permanent, I can keep my costs low. No, they're not really in love with your business, as you say. To take this step and understand where you can get financed, you first have to see whether or not you can produce money for an investor.
And Tim, $100
spent with you is going to be $10,000 in 3 years.
But you know, Tim, even before that, I'd like to recommend that. I'd like to say this about dealing with investors. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. You can tell me if you agree or not. Most small businesses, and I'm talking about 90%+. That's my prediction. That's my number. 90%+ of every small business out there that has ever been built and never will be built is not an emotional, cultural, philosophical prospect for an investor.
Oh, yeah, I'd go along with that. I think that's a good number. Here's the 90%. My understanding is about 4.5 million new businesses a year in the United States, and professional venture capital firms invest in about 5,000.
Yeah.
And angel investment people, tend to be individuals, will invest in a low number of tens of thousands.
Mm, so maybe 50,000, something like that.
Yeah. And then there's 4.5 million businesses. Well, few businesses offer an investment opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason I like to point this out, Tim, is because, folks, you're probably not an investor prospect, so don't spend a lot of time focusing on that. Rule that out quickly. Move on to the other options, which we're going to talk about right after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Tim Berry is our guest. He's with Palo Alto. Welcome back. It's 17. No, it's 7 till. Take 10 minutes off of that, folks. It's only 7 till the hour. 53 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the guy who can't tell time. And Tim Berry is our guest. He does tell time pretty well. Tim is the president and founder of Palo Alto Software. And Tim, give us your website, please.
www.timberry.com.
Timberry.com. Check it out, folks. It's a good one. It's a lot of good stuff there. And, folks, if you need help growing your business, starting your business, financing your business, capitalizing your business, if you need help with that, there isn't a better name to know than Tim Berry. And I hope you'll start with timberry.com and then go out in concentric circles with his organization and his contacts. And if you'll do that, I know you'll improve your chances of being successful. And Tim, thank you for making all those resources available. Tim, we're talking about capitalizing a business. Folks, when I said earlier about what I did about your chances of getting an investor to invest in your business, it's not that I'm trying to be negative. Tim, my belief is that's a high percentage comment for me, because I do believe most small businesses are not investor prospects. And so I'd rather the majority of my audience not spend too much time trying to, and not delude themselves into believing they can get investors. But even having said that, for those 10% or whatever who are prospects for investors, anything I say is not going to prevent them from going and getting that anyway. So I that's the reason I do what I say. What I say, Tim, let's talk about some of the other options that a small business can have. You can grow your business through profits. You just have to grow slower. You can try to get a bank to help you with loans. You can use credit cards. You know all about that, don't you?
Yes.
And then there are SBA loans that you can possibly get,
which also come through your bank.
Right. Exactly.
Ultimately, if you know you need more than you can spend to start the business, and you're not really planning to have an investment, it's not that you don't want to be an investment opportunity, it's that you're not going to grow 100-fold and then sell.
Right.
So you want to keep the business, then you have to look at whether or not you want to and can get loans. What we often forget is banks aren't allowed by law to invest in your new business just because you have a good business plan.
Or make you a loan just because you're a good person. You know, they got to have the numbers and the experience to back it up.
And the collateral, meaning that you have to be able to put at risk what you own of a house, or, you know, don't bet the farm. Well, you bet the farm if you borrow a small business loan. SBA loans, which are done through your bank, help somewhat because the SBA will take and guarantee for the bank 70% of the risk. You still have to put up 30% of the money in that.
The bank will still come and get your stuff, and whatever's left they go to the SBA for.
Yeah.
Just because the SBA guarantees it doesn't mean that your assets won't be at risk.
And the SBA won't guarantee more than 70%. So if it costs you $100,000 to get that restaurant started, you still have to come up with $30,000 of your own money.
Mm-hmm. Or collateral of some kind.
Or you bootstrap, which is often harder because, go back 20 minutes ago when we were talking about this, you counted correctly. You actually do need the money that you're suggesting for chairs and tables, and you can't go out and steal them. So what do you do if you can't get investment and you can't borrow the money because you don't have the collateral? Do you just not start the restaurant?
Maybe.
Or my other suggestion is now you're looking for partners.
Right. But I will tell you, Tim, sometimes the numbers are telling you what you should do.
Yeah, you mean there's a strong message in, whoa, there's no way I can get this going?
Yeah, what part of no do you not understand?
And then you go, and if you're still in love with starting the restaurant, then you go and get yourself employed as waiter, busboy, maitre d', bookkeeper, or whatever of a large successful restaurant, and keep your eyes open.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But that takes patience, Tim, and a lot of startups don't like that. They don't like it when they say, I want to start a business in this industry, but I have no experience in that industry, and I say, go get experience. They say, no, I want my business now.
Yeah.
You got to have patience sometimes, and that's not patience is not the typical entrepreneur's strong suit, Tim. Tim, thank you for being here today. As always, you enriched us with your knowledge and with your perspectives, and we appreciate it very much.
I'm very happy to be with you again, Jim.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, one of the absolute number one members of our Brain Trust, and an original one as well. And don't forget, that's timberry.com. And as you know, he's the president and founder of Palo Alto Software. They make Business Plan Pro. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.